Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Couple extra days off. It's the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're over there checking out the new blog or any other time you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three
E's. So now, you know, yesterday, even as, you know, under the weather as I was, is approximately the best way to put it. I still scuffled out and went ahead and I did the free roll on FanDuel. I didn't spend any money. I just put the free roll together. And I had noticed that my guys were doing pretty well. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm finally going to win a buck or 50 cents or something. And I got home from work this morning. I thought, okay, I'm going to check it out. So I go in, Dan, and I'm looking at my lineup and I see that it scored 201.4 points. I thought, holy crap, I had a really good night. And then I look over and I didn't win squat. Even with a 200 point night, I finished 484th. I missed money in by like 14 points or 13 points. And I was just, holy crap, man, what kind of guys were in this league? But it took 269.3 points to win it.
Wow. Well, you weren't too far off.
Obviously the thing that killed me is, you know, Evan Longoria got a zero, you know, and that really kind of roughed me up. And then Tim Beckham had scored me 6 points, but he had to leave the game early. Because I believe he got a hand injury or a wrist injury. So who knows what he would have done with those extra couple at bats. Luckily I had stacked a couple guys. I was picking two guys from the teams that they had predicted very well, and I had one outfield spot open, and I had a lot of money. And I said, you know, I'm just going to plug Cody Bellinger in here and see what happens to the tune of 47.4 points. Yeah, so that one worked out really well for me. Even over 200 points, man, I didn't win squizzot. So, but I'm loading it up here. I'm trying again. This is my free roll lineup tonight, because for the regular lineup, I tried to build a Chris Sale lineup, and I'll give that one to you too, but I wasn't as thrilled with that. I actually like this lineup. I'm going with Josh Tomlin as my pitcher. He's 7,500, obviously, of the Indians. He's pitching against the struggling Orioles tonight. So I'm going to go with Tomlin. Gary Sanchez of the Yankees is my catcher. He's 3,900, hitting sixth in their lineup. Matt Adams of the Braves at first base. He's 3,500 bucks, hitting fifth in their lineup. Brandon Phillips, also of the Braves at second. He's 3,400. He's hitting second in their lineup. Then I got Jose Ramirez of the Indians at third. He's a little expensive. He's been on a hot streak, so he's up to 4,300 bucks, but he's hitting third in that lineup, so I think it might work out for me. Then I went with Francisco Lindor, also of the Indians. Now, he's struggling. He's down to 3,300 bucks, but I like the fact that he's in the leadoff spot, so I think that kind of helps me out. I went with another leadoff hitter, Ender, and now how did we just, you sent this to me, Dan. It's in Encarnaciat?
No, Inciarte.
Inciarte, okay. I went with my way. That was it, yeah. Inciarte, that's how it is. I knew it was one of the two. I just figured I'd screw it up. He's leading off for the Braves tonight. He's 3,300. Scott Schebler of the Reds is $3,000. He's hitting sixth for them tonight. And then Lonnie Chisenhall is my final outfielder at 2,700. He's hitting fifth tonight for the Indians. So real quick, it's Tomlin pitching, Sanchez catching, Adams at first, Phillips at second, Ramirez at third, Lindor at short, and then my outfield is Inciarte. There you go. I got it right that time. Schebler and Chisenhall. So we'll see how that one works.
You know what's funny, though, is you used to say it right all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what's weird is I think I heard them say it the other way on TV, and I just naturally assumed that I was wrong, you know, because I figured, you know, they had researchers like you who would go in and look and see how it was phonetically spelled. So I just assumed naturally I had been screwing it up all this time. So, I mentioned, I did piece the – yeah.
And then I tweeted the Padres last night to make sure that JD and Len were saying Franchi right.
Yeah. And then, you know, like I said, I did piece together a Chris Sale lineup. I'll give it to you, but man, I am a little shaky on this one. Obviously, he's $11,700, so I looked for some money savers here, and you mentioned the Padres. I'm actually going with their catcher tonight, Luis Torrens, for $2,100. I spent a little money at first base. I went with Edwin Encarnacion of the Indians for $4,000. Second base, I tried to save a little money again. Ryan Goings of the Blue Jays for $2,200. Third base is Travis Shaw of the Brewers for $3,400. Shortstop, again, another kind of money-saving move here. Devin Marrero of the Red Sox for $2,000. And then oddly, I ended up spending $3,200 on each of my outfielders. It just kind of worked out that way. I ended up with Matt Kemp, Delino DeShields, and Aaron Altair. So it's Sale, Torrens, Encarnacion, Going, Shaw, Marrero, and then Kemp, DeShields, and Altair in the outfield. Like I said, I was a little concerned with this lineup, but sometimes when I'm more concerned, they do better. You know, I know I hit my Max Scherzer lineup last time I did it. I think it ended up scoring like 224 points, and that actually got me money that time. So we'll see if I have the same luck with the Sale lineup. These, of course, are for the 605. Well, the one is the free roll, and then the other one is entered in the main contest. You've got just under 27 minutes to get those lineups in, so hopefully you're making your last checks and all that other stuff. Now, did you get your free roll lineup in, or what did you do?
Still trying to decide on my last two outfielders. I have 3,150 to spend between two guys, on two guys.
Yeah.
Because I did go with, Ervin Santana.
And he's pitching against the White Sox tonight, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, Melky's been pretty hot lately, so I figured this should be one of those days where he's not going to be.
That's because he's one of your guys.
That's your guy.
No. Melky's been your guy since he was a Giant and cheated.
Hey, I'm not the guy with the shirt.
I think that's when you started to hate him. So, was after Melky cheated the Giants.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still won the World Series.
Yes, even with Melky cheating.
Well, he wasn't even allowed on their team, remember?
Yes, so.
He came back and they didn't even put him on the playoff roster.
Well, you know, that's how it should be. You know, I think they actually changed that rule now to include that, which they should have done all along. I don't know why it's taken this long. That should have been the very first thing was, okay, well, you cheated, so now you don't qualify for postseason play.
Yeah, which, I mean, depending on who you are, really screwed your team. but here we go. I went
right.
with Urban Santana. Since they're in Colorado, I went with what's his name, Tony Walters. I don't know why I wanted to say Tyler. And I figured since he's got a streak going at leadoff, I would go with the Riz. I don't know if you've here in Chicagoland, he went out and picked your Rizzo wrap, but I think I need to go buy some just in case when it runs out. Some wonderful fan wants to pay $500 for a wrap of Reynolds Rizzo wrap. You know, I'm hoping this works out, but I, you know, you just got to think positive. I'm going with Joe Panic at second to save some money. Travis Shaw at third, going up against Chad Cool. I don't know why I have this guy in both my year-long leagues. I think I'm just looking for an inning start because he hasn't. He's only won one game. He's won in six since I picked him up. But hey, and I'm hoping another other guy in that San Francisco Atlanta game will get some action. And that's Dansby Swanson. I figured since I double checked today and picked him as the rookie of the year, maybe I'll go with him. And then in my outfield, I'm again staying positive with Scott Schebler going up against Tampa Bay's finest. Well, maybe not their finest, but Alex Cobb, who's got a pretty high ERA. And he struck out a lot of guys. So, I mean, Schebler can go one or the other way, which, I mean, it's the MO of Major League Baseball now. Either strike it out or hit it out of the park, right? And then I'm finishing off my outfield with two Cardinals going up against Philadelphia. Jeremy Hellickson with Tommy Pham and Steven Piscotty. Come on, $1.50. I can win at least.
So, and well, you know, since he is in your lineup, of course, the big topic around baseball is what we can just call the slide from last night's Cubs game. You know, Anthony Rizzo sliding into home plate. You know, obviously, it was kind of humorous listening to the manager's interviews because Joe Maddon didn't see anything wrong with it. And, of course, Andy Green, the Padres manager, was on the correct slide and mentioned that it was an illegal slide. Baseball did rule that Rizzo did violate the home plate collision rule, but no one's ever been suspended for this, so there's no discipline. And this, it even says here, no discipline coming Rizzo's way. So it was just one of those things. What he did to violate the rule, if you watch the slide clearly, he alters his path to make contact with the catcher as he slides. And it's very clear in the video that he does this. Oddly, I didn't have a problem with him doing it. I thought it was a really smart move on his part. It was his only opportunity to be safe. And it wasn't a run you over, you know, kind of football type hit at home plate. And the only reason the Padre catcher had any issues because he took Anthony Rizzo's knee right to his thigh, and he just ended up with a bruised thigh. So there were no serious injuries. I know they took Austin Hedges was the Padre catcher. They took him out of the game for precautionary reasons, and I'm sure it tightened up on him. Basically, it was a Charlie horse, and he is getting the night off tonight, but that's no big deal. Did you see the play, and what did you think?
I mean, I read the article. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I actually pulled it up right now as you were speaking. I was hoping, you know, the 4G isn't doing so well right now.
Yeah, but, I'm used to that here. So
the way it looks, you know, I have AT&T. There you go. You know, from what I did see from the screenshots, it didn't look like he, you know, kind of barreled into them like they did in the old days.
Yeah, no, you know, again, it was just a, I'm trying to think of the best way to even describe it. It wasn't, you know, it's not like he trucked him. You know, it wasn't Pete Rose running over Ray Fosse in the All-Star game from back in, I think it was the 60s. You know, it wasn't that type of collision, or Logan Morrison hitting Buster Posey that, you know, basically started all these rules when Posey broke his leg. You know, it wasn't that kind of collision. It was a clean slide. He even tucked his spikes in, so he didn't spike the guy. He basically hit him with his knees. You know, so it was, you know, it was, I don't think, obviously, again, it was a violation of the rules, but not an egregious one. So hopefully they'll let it go. I know the Padres manager, Andy Green, also came out today and said, it would be stupid on their part to hit Anthony Rizzo because, of course, they wanted to know, you know, the reporters, Dan, well, is there going to be retaliation? You know, are you guys going to go after Rizzo for bruising your catcher? So, you know, he said it would be stupid on their part to do that and put a man on base. We'll see how it works out. And now, to be fair, you can hit Anthony Rizzo without actually throwing at him because he stands on top of the plate.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not that he still may get hit in tonight's game. It's just be, will it be intentional or not? Would be the big question there. And I just think they kind of, you know, they really kind of beat this to death today. I think I saw it on every sports show I watch, but I guess there's really nothing going on but baseball and the NBA draft, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could look at it again, what the actual rule is, but I still think that the players and everybody don't have a great handle on what the actual rule is. You know, and it kind of goes back to that article you posted or reposted from Gary Sheffield, if he were GM for the day. And I really liked it because, I mean, you know, he talked about, because he even moonlighted in the middle infield for maybe not a full season here or there, but he definitely played some shortstop. And, you know, that was my guy growing up. So him and Ricky, just random. Don't ask me how, but, you know, that's, I didn't just watch the Cubs and, you know, baseball cards and highlight shows, which they used to have, you know, if you remember Twiv, the weekend baseball, I watched that every single weekend. But, you know, that was one of those things. So I knew about a lot of guys. I knew about everybody. And he was one of my favorites. And, I mean, it did make sense what he said, you know, where guys knew about this. And they knew about, you know, the whole point of it was to break up the play. And, you know, in modern, this age baseball, I'm not sure if the rule is where you know, I don't know what the rule is initially. Are you allowed to, you know, run into the guy at all to try to break up the play? So you can knock the ball out of your hand, because that's what Rizzo looked like he was doing. He did, and I could see where on the alternative, though. I wouldn't say he so much altered his path, but, yeah, he did get out of the path of the base to kind of ram into the catcher. But at the same token, he wasn't running down there, you know, going top speed, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour. These are pro athletes, so they can't hit speed like that. I mean, football players at 20-plus miles an hour. And like you said, he pulled the cleats in. He went to his knees so as to give some contact, but not to take this guy totally out. The other side of it, too, though, if you watch it, if he were to slide in, your natural instinct to stay inside that base path is to slide with the right foot sticking out so that you could touch the plate, you know, with the left foot, left leg bent and your foot kind of underneath the knee, which in turn I think would have resulted in a something worse, where that left knee would have went straight for the feet and ankle, the left ankle and foot of the catcher. So I mean, when you look at it, he Rizzo in this situation, and not just because I'm a Cubs fan, but taking up, you know, an outside view, he was in a no-win situation, no matter how he did it.
Yeah, you know, and what you'll also notice when you watch the video, and I've seen it enough now, I kind of know it by heart. Rizzo is he's kind of caught in between, you know, almost whether to slide or whether not to slide. It's just he's, you know, pretty much almost half, you know, half stepping. So I think he did the right thing. You know, the mistake he made is he just angled off a little bit to go right into the catcher. You know, I think if he would have continued to go straight and slid like he did, nobody would have a problem with this. It's just you can see he changes his direction. It's clearly obvious what he's trying to do. I understand what he's trying to do. He's making a baseball play. And this is something that's happened for years in the game until Posey got hurt. And I think they have to know how to legislate between slides like this. And then there was one a few nights ago in a Cubs game where Wilson Contreras got his leg out there and got hit, and nothing was intentional. I believe the guy was still out at home plate. But, they have to learn how to associate between stuff like this and stuff that's really an act of trying to injure somebody or trying to run somebody down. And there's just not a good grasp on that with these rules because they're really kind of open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, the second base rule is a joke. Nobody knows what the hell's going on with that thing.
No, and if you remember, I'm not a super fan of it. I mean, I get it. I understand. But the only way to rectify this rule is put a marker on the grass. And that would be for home and second.
Oh.
That's the only way. If your slide does not start at this point, it's an automatic violation.
Like me, I believe you have to allow these guys to slide into second base and try to break up a double play. And now I understand you don't want them gunning at guys or, going with your spikes up or anything, but I kind of like the rule where if you could slide and reach the base, it was okay. But I think maybe if they adapt that, say if you can slide and reach the base with your feet, it's okay. Because obviously that's still going to shorten the area. I think it was Dexter Fowler opening day got called for that double play when he slid through the base. There was absolutely nothing wrong with what he did, except it's a crappy rule.
Yeah. Well, and if you remember, and it seems like to me, I'm not going to knock the guys today, but the athleticism was maybe a step higher, be it 90s, 80s, and prior. I mean, you can't expect everyone to be like Lou Brock and be able to do a standing backflip. I get that. But at the same time, that was one of the things that just kind of stood out for shortstops. Not so much for second baseman, but for shortstops is you anticipated that. You knew that that was coming. And, I would say the guy that I could imagine that could really fit into this would be Javi Baez. Pre-big-headedness, because I really think his head blew up. It didn't help anymore with this naked cover shoot for the body issues. if you remember Big Jack, second shortstops, that was like a specialty position. And those guys had some real athleticism where they grabbed that ball from the third baseman or the second baseman, and they were leaping in the air and making spectacular throws to first base. Be it a one hop or whatever. And, that's when you used to see a first baseman doing the stretch.
Yeah. I don't quite really even, understand. I get, everything's got to be managed around safety. No matter what you do, safety has to be first. But I think you got to get to the point where you got to stop taking away from the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you've got to allow guys to play. And, there are ways to do it with making the game safe. Other leagues have figured out how to do it without screwing the game up. And I just think baseball could have came up with much better ways, especially at second base. Home plate, I don't have a big problem with that. Especially being a former catcher, nobody wants to get run down. That second base rule is just a joke. I'm not advocating for anybody killed out there, but you don't want them to roll into a guy like Chase Utley did, which really got the rule started. But, you know, that's how they used to do it. That's why those guys jumped out of the way all the time. Go back and watch, you know, if you can find it, guys like Hal McRae going into second base who went after you every single time. That's just how the game was played. So they had to get out of the way.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's almost to the point where, you know, I get the whole, let's just get rid of the four pitches, just put them on. Okay, but with this rule of not being able to break up the double play, I mean, it's almost to the point where, well, if he hits it straight to the second or shortstop and he can't break up the play anymore, then it should be just a dead ball and an automatic double play.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, how many guys have you seen turn off on plays like that? They just get out of the baseline instead of running to second. Or even, you know, I've seen guys slide literally 3 or 4 feet in front of the base on plays like that because they don't want to get an out for their team over something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just the, you know, it's the stupidest thing to have to see a guy do that. You know, it's just kind of like, really? This is what the things have kind of devolved to now? You can't even, you know, you can't even get a freaking guy to go all the way to the base because of this. So,
well, and kind of going back to the Gary Sheffield thing, just going off the top of my head, I mean, I think I didn't memorize it, but I really enjoyed reading it because it's, you know, I got to find a way to get this guy on our podcast to talk about it because, I mean, it reflected a lot of our views. And, I mean, the thing that just was like, oh, my God, I'm so glad that we're not the only ones who thought of it was the instant replay. You know, he said the same thing. Everyone pays to play. But the only thing that's made the game worse is the instant replay. And he even pointed out that it shouldn't be up to the coaches or any of that. It should just be, I don't know if he really put it this way, but, you know, a studio or a room up in New York or wherever they want to put it. If it's cheaper, go to Canada, I don't know, and have a guy in the umpire's ear and just go, no, he was out, or no, he was safe. Because I think, you know, the issue with the slide rule that I don't like is it takes away the neighborhood play. You know, when you add the slide rule with the instant replay, I mean, that was just kind of the way the game was, and I get it. But at the same time, I don't know. It's just one of those things where, I mean, if you can clearly see, you know, 12, you know, to, you know, maybe 16 inches or more, you know, I might, you know, double check you on that neighborhood rule. But I think if you're within, you know, a foot, 12 inches, I think you're pretty fine. But, you know, I really like that because, I mean, I think that's something we've gone over a million times and prior to the season even starting, prior to spring training, but the fact that the instant replay rule is just a complete joke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still the funniest thing is, you know, every time they talk about pace of play and we got to change this and we got to change that, no one ever mentions replay because they all advocated for it. So now we can't get rid of it because this is something we wanted. You know, and, oh, God, we can't change it. We were right on that. There's no way, you know, it's replay's fault we're taking this long. Like, yeah, okay, whatever, idiots. You know, just fix it. You know, it's not like it's that difficult to do. Just go out and fix the damn thing and, stop just screwing around with it. It's just driving.
Well, yeah.
You know,
well, not only that, I mean – the luxury of the MLB replay is the fact that you've had the NFL and the NBA's replay for years prior. So, I mean, did any genius inside the MLB organization kind of sit back and go, let's see how they do it and make it better? They did it.
Yeah.
even that, you know, we talked about it a few years back. NHL wanted to, you know, boost their TV stuff. So they actually, you know, kind of made a deal with Major League Baseball and they were broadcasting in the same studio. So that, you know, Major League Baseball can help them with their NHL subscription, and, you know, vice versa. They can kind of play off of each other. And, I mean, if you're a Comcast subscriber, I guess you said it didn't work for you, but you'll have to see this summer or, you know, in the next couple of months when they do the free pack. Oh, I guess it doesn't work because hockey's over. But, you know, it's still for me on Comcast, when we get the MLB package for free, the NHL channels are open. You know what I mean? And there's some, you know, reporters who work strictly for baseball and hockey. How does that work? Well, because they're in the same studio. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. But, you know, again, I forgot you even hit the NHL. So you have three other organizations to look at in your instant replay. And you went with, like, an archaic way. If you remember, they started off, you know, you might as well wheeled out an old Venus TV, you know, and had the rabbit ears on top of it for an instant replay.
Yeah, it definitely, they did not go the best route with this. I think there were, you know, much better, you know, and smarter ways to go about this, especially with technology. Now, I don't understand why you have to have multiple umpires huddle. You know, I mean, when, like you said, you just, you know, it's kind of like the NFL, you know, when something goes wrong in the last 2 minutes, they buzz the head official, and, you know, that's all they got to do is buzz this guy. Hey, you know, we're reviewing this. Give us a minute. You know, obviously he controls the game. He can easily call time. And then, you know, we go on, you know, we play on from there. But, you know, you get the stupid huddle and, you know, the manager shouldn't have a say in this because obviously they posture and, you know, that eats up valuable minutes of what they want as playing time. So, yeah, it just it needs to be fixed. And, you know, the sad part is, Dan, we'll be talking about this at the beginning of next season, too. You know, that it just needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
So.
Unless Gary Sheffield becomes GM.
I know. Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, how things go with this and, you know, all the other, you know, all the other crap that goes with.
I did find it interesting, and I just don't know if I totally agree or can disagree. I thought it was a good idea. It was interesting, kind of going back to the Sheffield's commissioner for a day thing. For him, extra innings, you know, you get to pick your best three batters that you want to come up. I mean, obviously, this one, for this to be an official rule, there'd be a lot of stipulations and stuff put into it. I think to get it to go across, it'd be very complicated in, you know, writing out the rule. But I mean, as far as that goes, I mean, what were your thoughts on that one? Definitely better than putting a man on second.
You know, it's a little gimmicky. You know, the odd part is it made it very much sound like the shootout in the NHL.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you know, and you know, like that's one of the things I think you could look at almost kind of like the NHL does it, where maybe you play a set amount of innings and then you go to this, you know, maybe, you know, you send your best three guys up or, you know, like the NHL does, you put out your guys and then they each get in at bat against the defense and whichever team scores more or, you know, puts up some kind of value depending on what they do would win the game after, say, I don't know, 15 innings. You know, possibly something like that. But I think to go right to it after nine, I don't know if that would be the best way to do it. I think I'd rather see, you know, at least you get the chance to play the game a little to win.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with 12 just to kind of keep it on that three inning interval.
Hey, you know, I mean, whatever, you know, I mean, because very few games really get to 12 or 13, you know, 14, 15 innings. Those are rarities. So, you know, you wouldn't see it that much. It's very much like the intentional walk rule. You know, I mean, there was like one intentional walk every three games or something. So it wouldn't have a huge effect on things. But, you know, it could, you know, maybe that's something they try in the minor leagues and see how it works out.
Yeah, and, you know, we know guys firsthand who would tell us right away if that rule coming into it. But, you know, the reason I keep saying GM, 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 is, you know, we've got to talk about it because, you know, football's not in the news right now. We still have till tomorrow. I forgot what time. I think it's done and over with tomorrow. Vegas has some deals in place, but I think they have until tomorrow to pick their one guy from each team. You know, two things I found interesting. You know, Jimmy Butler's been in the news a lot. And, of course, should we touch on Griffin and the Cavaliers kind of parting ways last night or yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of humorous because I believe I have heard Jimmy Butler's name associated with about 8 or 10 different teams. So, you know, but here's some breaking news for you real quick, Dan, on the NBA front. The Lakers are acquiring your guy, Brook Lopez, and the 27th pick in the first round. In return, they are sending Timofey Mozgov and D'Angelo Russell to the Nets.
I don't remember Russell, but Moskow or whatever. He's a center, correct? So the Nets get back another
yes.
center?
Yeah. Russell was the guy who I'm going to guess you remember it when I tell you that he videotaped Swaggy P talking about Iggy.
Oh, okay. The rookie. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, obviously there were no issues this year. He got through the season, but I believe a change of scenery will be good for him. And I also think it kind of makes a hint at the fact that the Lakers are going to take Lonzo Ball with that number two pick because they play the same position. But yeah, you know, like you mentioned. Yeah. Yeah. And then it's the more offensive Lopez. Brook's the better scorer, but Robin is a very good defender and rebounder. So,
yeah.
But yeah, you mentioned Jimmy Butler. I think I have heard that he's been going to the Celtics, the Knicks, the Cavaliers. Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. I thought there was one Western Conference team. I want to say it might have been the Kings for either the 5th or the 10th pick. So, oh, the Wolves, yeah, that's right. Tom Thibodeau wanted him. That's right. That makes sense. So, yeah, his name has been floated out there a lot. And what's funny is everybody's rooting for the Bulls to deal him. So, basically, they want the team to tank. So, they want the team to suck for I don't know how many years. You know, just kind of before you want your team to tank, look at the 76ers. Okay, before you start ever rooting for your team to tank. You know, while they have a lot of young talent, they still haven't done anything. So, yeah, that seems to be the thing is we're going to get the Bulls to tank and rebuild, and it's going to be glorious. I don't know why they have such hope that John Paxson and Gar Foreman can rebuild the team the right way, but good for them. Just like I thought it was incredibly stupid today, Dan, I kept hearing reports that said Dwayne Wade was deciding on whether he was going to pick up his $24 million option or not. Yeah, I don't care how much money Dwayne Wade has made in his career. He wasn't deciding crap. He was picking up the option. And it was actually announced a little while ago that he did tell the Bulls he will be picking up the option. And it was just like, God, could you guys be stupider? You know, it's like, don't try to add any suspense to this. We know exactly what's going to happen. He's gonna take the $24 million. I mean, he can't get it on the free agent market. So he'll pick up next year's option, too, because it's millions of dollars, you know, $20 millions, and he's not getting that on the free agent market. So, God, just shut up, morons.
I didn't know he had two options.
Yeah, I believe it was 3 years with two being option years. So, well, you know, that's always exciting. But, yeah, the other thing I heard, and I don't know if you heard this one, they're reporting that LeBron James was not consulted when the Cavaliers decided to let, when the owner decided to let general manager David Griffin go. Do you believe that?
I mean, are you just referring over the last couple days that he wasn't consulted?
Apparently when the move was made, they didn't consult LeBron about it. They just made the move, which, you know, on any other team in any other league is okay to do because you're the owner and you make these decisions, but not on the Cavaliers where LeBron is really the head coach, the GM, the owner, and the player rep. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, I would honestly believe that only for the fact that I think he kind of knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, I just kind of chuckled. I'm sure LeBron knew just about, you know, just everything that was going on, and he was probably told beforehand, you know, before this was even news that this is something they were going to do. So, you know, this way he could have deniability, you know, when they went to him and said, oh, you know, did they consult you? No, I didn't know anything about it, man.
Well, not only that, I mean, I think I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious when someone, when they were talking about it, I don't know if it was yesterday on the way home or this morning, you know, they let go of the guy who brought the championship to Cleveland. No, LeBron is on the court. He's technically not in the front office, and he's the one who brought the championship. I am not buying that David Griffin did that. I'm sorry. Without LeBron they did not win the world. They did not win the NBA Finals.
Yeah, you know, I mean, basically, what David Griffin did was LeBron told him pretty much more or less which one of his friends he wanted to play with, and Griffin went out and got him. So.
So I mean, that's just, you know, that was the guy, but I think I don't buy it.
Yeah, you know, just kind of how things went. And I mean, I'm sure this, whoever this new guy is, and a lot of rumors are that it's going to be Chauncey Billups, will be the exact same way. He'll be a guy LeBron can control and just pretty much tell him, hey, this is what we want, now go get it for me. Or this is who we want, go get him for me.
Well, you've got to wonder, you know, when I heard the name, you know, my immediate thought was, is this a guy that LeBron wants to work with or will work with? Or will we see the end of the Heat, you know, saga where he kind of gets them to go one way and then, you know, he and Paul George take off to the Lakers and, you know, maybe a Melo too, and then, you know, and bring a championship back to L.A.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned L.A. because I saw a story yesterday, and sadly in my condition, I was even too under the weather to move it all over and just copy it to tweet it out on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. but I probably, you know, I can probably hunt it down if I want to. But someone had spoke to LeBron James' wife, and she was quoted as saying that she would very much like it if they lived in L.A. full-time. Now, we went through this with Carmelo Anthony, Dan, when he was happily married to Lala. She didn't want to live in Denver. So, Carmelo orchestrated his way out of Denver to go play with the Knicks. Well, you know, LeBron's wife wants to live in L.A., So what does that mean for them? Oh no, did I lose Dan? Dan, where did you go?
No, the
Dan,
the
it's
bus
not Wednesday.
Automatic.
There we go. Okay.
There is the bus is doing this automatic extra long thing.
So yeah, do you see LeBron kind of, I don't know, you want to call it giving in, I don't know how you want to look at it, but you see him making the move because his wife wants to, and her name is Savannah, by the way, wants to be there full time?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wouldn't even say it's him giving in, but him coming back to Cleveland, doing what he needed to do. I don't want to say sadly, but I just, the way the game is now, I just don't really see any teams pulling off three-peats. So, I mean, he did his job. Then next year will be the year where, you know, all the home games he rests at, so he could play on the road because of, you know, the commissioner. And then, you know, he gets his rest in to go move to L.A., which I think would be a new saga. It would be kind of, it would be a different change to see him play in the West.
Yeah, it would be very interesting, you know, if he decided to, you know, to make that move and, you know, kind of go. And you mentioned with Paul George, it does appear that, you know, if the Lakers make a trade for him this year, if not, he's coming there next year. I mean, he's already told Indiana he won't be re-signing with them no matter what. You know, the odd part, of course, by doing that, he just killed his trade value because nobody's given them anything for him. So they might as well just kind of hold on to him unless the Lakers will be nice and, you know, drop a draft pick in their lap, because I don't know why you would pay for something you're going to get for free next year anyways. So, yeah, you know, it could be interesting. I mean, now you think about it now. I mean, because they just added Brooke Lopez. So going into that next year, you would have Brooke Lopez, Paul George, and LeBron James as your quote-unquote big three, along with a relatively young nucleus that you've put together. You know, Lonzo Ball would be part of that. I don't know if – oh, my God, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Julius Randle, that's it, would still be there. And then they drafted Brandon Ingram last year, who didn't really work out, but he was a number two pick in the draft. So maybe there's still something there. You know, you just wonder, you know, that would probably make the Lakers a playoff team for sure. I don't know how far it would get them. The West is obviously much tougher than the East, but, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. You know, and the draft is just what? It's 2 days away now, Thursday?
Yeah.
So we'll be rolling along with that and be all excited to talk about who drafted who and how it makes their team better. So right, you're excited for the draft?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things I feel like, thank God we'll get it over with finally. To be honest.
Yeah, well, you know what what's weird is what I did notice, and I assume a lot of this has to do with the fact that they have all their money invested in this league for the foreseeable future. I noticed the Mickey Mouse Network always finds a way to work NBA stories into the A blocks of all of their TV shows. Oddly, the one today that I caught just before you and I came on the air, they do the six, you know, their hip new Sports Center show. The video clip was LeBron working out to kick off the broadcast. And it was just kind of like, boy, man, we are just desperate to get LeBron involved any way we can, aren't we? And, you know, it's just him doing some core exercises. And it's like, really, with everything else that goes on, this is what you're giving me. And I was just like, well, oh, goody. So, yeah, I just... You know, it was just kind of humorous, but yeah, I've noticed, and again, I understand why they do it. They've got a buttload of money wrapped up in this, and you know, let's face it, right now they're tanking. You know, they just released hundreds of employees, and you know, things just aren't going their way. So you got to push the league you own, and they're trying to do it. So,
well, you know, and the funny thing is. With the way social media is, the high priced guys that have been getting fired and are really kind of not, I want to say lashing out, but calling them out finally. And it's kind of nice to hear, you know, because I forget who it was, but they did what they, you know, what you're supposed to do now and credit a source. But I guess they made it so small you could barely read it on TV who they were crediting. And so he and a couple of guys were kind of lashing back at them. But at the same time, when you think about it, with all the news outlets and the way social media works, do you really have to be the one, you know, I'm sorry to the guys who, you know, are losing their jobs and whatnot. They'll find ways. But I mean, do you really need to be the outlet breaking the story anymore? Can't you just take it as your own, but repost it and talk about it? And since you're the mothership and everyone tends to watch you anyways, you know, everyone's going to kind of get it there first anyways. I mean, I would love to follow a lot of the guys, but there's so many damn, you know, outlets that it's hard to keep up with everybody.
Yeah, it is tough now because, you know, of course, you know, you can credit a source and it could be the wrong source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because there's so many freaking ones out there now, you know, you think you're crediting the right person and you're like, oh wait, I got the wrong, you know, I got the wrong one here. Sorry. So.
Well, but even that, if then you're technically never wrong because you could say, oh, well, we got it from that. So we were just reporting it because we thought it was true.
So, yeah, you know, that's a big plus, you know, when you don't ever have to, you know, you don't have to apologize for anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that makes life a whole lot easier.
The simplicity of it.
You know, well, that's how we do things, right? I just blurt things out, and then if they're true, we go with it, and if not, we just make stuff up. So...
Yeah, but oddly, we have this thing called common sense that, you know, and it's funny because I'm not going to say that we break everything, but we talk about things and, you know, eventually it kind of works its way around to that. It never really amazes me, but it's just sometimes I don't understand how blind the masses could be, or even, not even the masses, but the ones that do this for a living. You know, you remember how would we put it? I was really knocked for, you know, saying that the Cubs wouldn't start spending money until their lawsuit with the rooftop owners was over with. And they're like, oh, that's a conspiracy and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then magically one day I read the newspaper and guess what? The lawsuit was thrown out of court and within 2 weeks, the Cubs go and sign him, you know, not a big time, but a big contract with Channel 7, ABC. And then within that week, they go and sign John Lester. And, you know, and the moves start getting made. I'm like, even you're like, didn't you say that was going to happen? I'm like, pretty much. I didn't say that they're going to sign Lester. And but I said flat out, they're not going to spend money until this lawsuit is over with. Boom, it happened. And,
yeah, well,
you know, there's been countless other things that you've brought up too. And,
you know, they started buying the apartments across the street. birthday as well.
That's what happened next. And you're like, you're right, you know, spending money. So that's when they started buying up the rooftops.
So, now, do you think, I know they've asked for this, do you ever think they'll get that street closed off like they wanted? I believe Fenway does that, right? The street is closed off?
Yeah, Fenway. It's completely closed off. It's pretty much closed off now. I think that's not Sheffield. I can't remember if it's, I think that's Waveland that's closed off. Whatever is behind right field. I'm bad on my streets right now. But that's pretty much closed off. But the difference between that and Boston is, in Boston, that street is not only closed off, but it's closed off for the entire game. Plus, it's only accessible to ticket holders. So, I mean, that's pretty much that's the gate you're walking in. So, I mean, you know, in today's day and age, if you're still a smoker of, you know, regular tobacco, cigarettes, not these vaping stuff, if you go to Boston, you could just walk right outside that stadium on Yawkey Drive, former owner of the Boston Red Sox. You could just walk right out on the Yawkey Drive and go have a cigarette, sit at the table, and, you know, stand at the bar top table, smoke your cigarette, drink your beer, whatever you got going on, and go back into the game without a problem. Where at Wrigley, you know, you can still do that, but you got to get your hand stamped and, you know, what's the secret password and all that good stuff.
So it's very much like part of the ballpark then.
Yeah. I mean, they have a gift shop right across the street. So if you're at the game, you can go to the gift shop and it's still a part of the park pretty much. It's, you know, there's food vendors out there, really expensive food vendors. If you want a, you know, a lobster roll or 20 some bucks or something like that. It was wow.
Yeah, I mean, because that would be, you know, that would be really kind of interesting. Does now, you know, I haven't been down there in a long time. Would it affect businesses? I mean, how many businesses are right there?
No, the only thing it would see, and that's why they need to own all the rooftops, and I think that it wouldn't be until they owned all the rooftops that they would try to get that street completely closed, because you could still access the rooftops from the front, you know, from that street. But I think once they own all the rooftops, they could definitely, you know, kind of get the order or whatever to close down that street. And then that way, not only would it make it better for vendors, because the only businesses are on the corners, so you could just kind of disclude them. And then it would make it better for, you know, people standing in line, because, no offense, and you wouldn't have all the, I hate to say it, but whatever, you wouldn't have the homeless people walking around begging for change while you're standing in line, and then you wouldn't have all those other people selling all their, you know, kind of bootleg T-shirts and, you know, glasses and
all right, just maybe time for Dan and I to roll out of here, but we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. You know the deal while we're away, though, sportstimeradio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning over there. Don't forget about the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You want to link over there and give that a like. Dan and I'd appreciate that. There's also the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd really like to. And as always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.